For businesses around the world, today isn't a restart, it's a rethink. That's why they're partnering with IBM. Retailers are keeping their systems up as millions of orders move online. Call centers are using IBM Watson to manage customer questions with AI. And solutions built on the IBM cloud are helping patients receive trusted information. Today, we're rethinking how business moves forwards. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for getting us to 60K on YouTube, which we did last week. Tonight was the kickoff for the Eliminator Tournament with the finals taking place at Full Gear. The winner will get an AEW Championship match, not at the pay-per-view, but I guess at an undisclosed later date. And we got word about an hour before the show that Joey Janela, who was scheduled to wrestle Kenny Omega tonight in the opening round, was pulled from the show because he had been potentially exposed to a wrestler who was on an independent show with him. I think it was the GCW show this past weekend. Who subsequently tested positive for COVID, that being AJ Gray. AJ Gray announced that it was something that happened after the show, that apparently it didn't happen, or at least according to him, he doesn't think it happened on the actual wrestling show. Regardless, this is unfortunately what is going to happen when you have AEW talents who were working independent shows. Whether they're exposed or they are fearful they might be, situations like this are going to creep up. That's why I was going off on Jon Moxley being a part of the whole Bloodsport thing 3 days before the AEW anniversary show. So he got pulled, and in his place, Sonny Kiss was slotted in to replace Joey Janela tonight on the show against Kenny Omega. We opened, though, not with that match, but another first-round match. We opened with Wardlow. Wardlow taking on Jungle Boy to open the show. I thought this was a fun opener. If it were up to me, I would have opened with Pentagon and Phoenix. You go in there, you have that really hot opener, right? Just, you know, give them 15 minutes to open the show. But they went with Jungle Boy and Wardlow, and they had a fun match. Jungle Boy is so good. He's so good. He's so young and early in his career, but he's so good. He really is. And Wardlow is on a hot streak, which I was not aware of because I have not seen all of his matches on Dark. Apparently, he came into this, though, with an 8-match winning streak. Jungle Boy, frustrating Wardlow very early on. A lot of high-flying offense. And he went for a Rana attempt on the floor. Wardlow reversed it, though. So instead of going over for the Rana when he came off the apron, he held on to him. And he whipped him up into a powerbomb position. And he powerbombed Jungle Boy into the ring post. Jungle Boy's smart, though. Puts his hands behind his head. So I don't know if he's been in trouble with the law before, but he has that down pat. Hands behind the head to protect your head. You always got to protect your noggin. So from there, Wardlow took most of the match. Jungle Boy tried to make a comeback. They were out on the ramp. Wardlow gave him an F10, the spinning F10 into the ring. And then back inside, another F10 finishes off the boy from the jungle. And with that, Wardlow moves to, I guess, 9-0, I guess, in his last 9 matches. It was the right outcome. I like Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy is one of the more popular stars on the AEW roster. But this was the right outcome. It gives Wardlow a win on Dynamite, right? He doesn't get too many of those. So he gets a win on Dynamite. I think he's someone who, like Jungle Boy, has a big upside. I mean, I could see Wardlow having a big upside as a babyface. Kind of like a babyface destroyer, the strong but silent type. If he ever breaks away from MJF, it's a lot of upside with Wardlow. So it gives him a win, but it also gives Hangman Page, who you knew was going to advance. I mean, come on. Did anybody think that Hangman was not going to win on this show tonight? Come on, you haven't been paying attention. But it gives Hangman now a tough hill to climb next week, right? It's not going to be an easy road for him. He's got to go in there now with Wardlow next week. And so it gives him a big heel challenger to overcome next week in the semifinals. So I liked it. Jim Ross, though. Jim Ross, twice during this match, made this comment. And, well, let me just tell you the comment. So two different times he made the comment that athletic big men sell tickets. Now, that might be a Totally valid point. And that might be a great point to make, for example, on his podcast, right? He's got his Grilling JR podcast, and he could talk about big men selling tickets and all of that. But I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking to myself, as a viewer, why should I care whether or not Wardlow sells tickets? I don't care. Big men sell tickets. Why should I care? Maybe Tony Khan cares. But why should I care? And I think what he should have said is, athletic big men win championships. This man is in a tournament. He's competing for a shot at the world championship. That's what people care about, right? They're fighting for the right to challenge for the AEW title. Athletic big men win championships. I just thought to myself, he kept hammering that point home. Athletic big men sell tickets. I'm like, well, I don't care. Just as a viewer, I don't really see what the point of even mentioning that was. Just kind of weird to me. But he saw fit to make that point more than once. So yeah, 9 straight wins now for Wardlow, heading into the semifinals next week. They showed highlights of Eddie Kingston's promo from the end of Dynamite the week before. I believe they went off the air. What they showed here was the off-air footage of him yelling at Jon Moxley. He was beating Moxley down at the end of the show. I'm glad they did. I don't think this aired on TV. If it did, then I apologize. But I don't think it did, and I'm glad they showed this, because this was great. Eddie Kingston with a microphone in his hand. We know that, you know, he can hold his own. We already know that. But he was going off on Moxley, you know, basically turning his back on him. And people like him when he went off to the land of sports entertainment. And he was turning a shade of red. His face turned beet red. His face turned a shade of red that had me concerned. So, when he gets in that zone, again, there's very few people in wrestling right now as good as Eddie on the microphone. But this all sets up an I Quit match. He and Jon Moxley are going to have an I Quit match at Full Gear in a couple of weeks on pay-per-view. And I said last week, when it looked like this was going to be the main event, Eddie Kingston headlining a pay-per-view for the World Championship months after, you know, he wasn't sure if he'd be able to pay his mortgage. He was selling his gear so he can pay his mortgage. It's a great story. And I'm happy for the guy. I'm not totally sure or convinced if that will actually headline the show. Generally, AEW, I think, does go with the world title match closing out. I mean, they did it Double or Nothing. They did it at All Out. So they probably will. But I don't know. Maybe they'll headline with the tag team title match or something. If they think that's a bigger match. I don't know that it is. You probably should headline with Moxley and Eddie Kingston. So they're going to have an I Quit match. They had a pre-taped Moxley promo. And, you know, for all the praise that Eddie Kingston gets, I think Jon Moxley deserves some too. When they do these video packages where they're sitting somewhere with Moxley, just kind of interviewing him. He did a promo once. Remember, he was walking along the border somewhere in, probably he lives in Nevada, right? So probably somewhere in Nevada, kind of walking in the desert. Moxley is very good too. When Moxley has the right opponent and he's kind of locked in on his promos, he also was one of the better promo guys in that company. But he was talking about how nobody was happier than he was when he found out that Eddie Kingston had signed a contract to come to AEW. Nobody was happier than him. You know, he and Eddie were friends or enemies, frenemies, whatever you want to call them, going back to their independent days together. And so he was ecstatic that Eddie was getting that opportunity. But he's not going to apologize, you know, basically for being in the land of the sports entertainers. He's not going to apologize for being able to buy his mother a house. He's not going to apologize for being able to provide a living for his family. He's not going to say that he's sorry for any of that. He doesn't regret any of that. Because that's what Eddie's really been hitting him on, you know? You betrayed your roots. You sold out for that other brand of wrestling. And Jon Moxley says he's not going to apologize for it. So he says, you know, Eddie Kingston says, oh, I never tapped out in our last match. I never gave up. He goes, well, you know what? That's fine. We're going to make this an I Quit match. So that way, you have to verbalize it when we get back in the ring together. Hence the I Quit stipulation. So then we got another Eddie Kingston promo. You can never get too many of these. again, pre-tape promo, just him in the back with a camera on him, talking about Jon Moxley, saying he's never quit on anything in his life. It's not going to start now. See, these promos are going to be what sells that match more than any angle they do, more than any tag team match they put them in, more than any contract signing. Although you might get a good promo at a contract signing. But more than any of that, more than any of those types of segments, it's promos like this that are going to sell the match. These guys are very good talkers. All they have to do is just put out a few more promos like this. That's what's going to really sell this match at Full Gear. So Kingston is, he's in a good spot. He's in a good spot. Now that may come to an end at the pay-per-view. It probably will. He's not going to win the world title. But Eddie Kingston can sell ice to an Eskimo. He's one of the best in the business at what he does. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Ian Israel, I see you. Dan Brown, Jason Voorhees Jr. You got to go back and check out the beginning of the stream. I think you would enjoy the intro. Santiago and Mr. E joining the party tonight. Dasha. Dasha was outside the building earlier, waiting on Cody's arrival. Cody was not booked for the show, but he showed up anyway. Limo pulls up. Out comes Arn Anderson, who looks like he's living his best life. He's got the shorts on. He's got a big smile on his face. And then out comes Cody, who I think may have changed his hair color again. I don't know. Maybe he's having a midlife crisis. I don't know what's going on with this guy. One week his hair is one color. The next week it's a different color. Next week it'll be pink. The next week it'll be blue. Maybe it'll be him soon. All red everything. He'll have red hair. Even Maria, I don't think, has red hair anymore. Cody will take over. Cody will have red hair. He'll look like the Red Rooster, right? Remember Tatanka had a little bit of red? He had like the red streak in his hair. That's going to be Cody. So Cody was talking about the match next week, TNT title match, teasing a possible stipulation in the match with Orange Cassidy, which was later revealed to be a lumberjack match. Not my favorite stipulation, but it's going to be a lumberjack match. And she asked him, you know, you've put on weight recently, you've bulked up. And he said, you know, this is a light heavyweight promotion. He flat out said, this is a light heavyweight promotion. I don't really know that you can call it a light heavyweight promotion. I know all the people that hate AEW and hate all the small guys will call it that. And there are a lot of light heavyweights and cruiserweights in the company, but you know, now, or even guys like Jericho and Moxley, right? But you've got Brody Lee and you've got Wardlow and you've got even guys like Eddie Kingston. You know, I mean, for God's sakes, Lance Archer, Brian Cage, can you really call it a light heavyweight promotion? They've got a good mix. It's a good mix of talent. Maybe there are more smaller guys, but you know what? It makes the bigger guys stand out more. If you had a whole roster full of nothing but big guys, then what makes Lance Archer and Brian Cage stand out? But I think what this was just another little, because he was acting very, little arrogant. So I think all the comments he made here served a purpose, which I think was to further things along towards a heel turn. I still think Cody is going down that heel road, but he was talking about, you know, I don't want to give Justin Roberts another nickname, but you could call me the Giant Killer, or the Giant Slayer, whatever he said, because he's beaten Brody Lee and he's beaten Lance Archer, all these big guys, really, really talking himself up. Speaking of heel turns, that brings us to Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega in his eliminator match again, no Joey Janela, so in his place it was Sonny Kiss. And Justin Roberts gives a very over-the-top introduction for Kenny Omega. I was trying to scribble down everything he was saying. I only got part of it. He mentioned him being PWI Wrestler of the Year, Wrestling Observer's Wrestler of the Year in 2018. He's broken Dave Meltzer's star scale multiple times. And he once performed in North Carolina. I don't know if there's an inside joke there, maybe a BTE joke that I'm not aware of, but yes. Justin Roberts did say that Kenny Omega did in fact once perform in North Carolina. So there you go. The more you know. And as Justin is doing this very over-the-top introduction, he's about to come out of one of the tunnels. The other tunnel, you've got these two women dressed in skimpy outfits who are holding broomsticks, and they're doing the sweeping motion. And as soon as I saw that, obviously, what was that done for, right? The cleaner. They want you to believe that the cleaner is back. The cleaner version, as opposed to the dirty version, I guess, the cleaner version of Kenny Omega. We have yet to see the cleaner in AEW. Even still, we have yet to see him. He still has yet to go out there in a singles match and have the kind of breakout match that people were used to seeing him have in New Japan. He was part of one of the greatest tag team matches, I don't want to say all time, I mean one of the greatest tag team matches probably in the last decade. And certainly the greatest tag team match that AEW has ever put on at Revolution earlier this year. It was him and Hangman against the Young Bucks. That was fantastic. But really, aside from that, I wasn't really a big fan of the Lights Out match with Moxley last year. Personal taste, I just wasn't a big fan of it. We still have yet to see Kenny Omega have that one big singles breakout performance. But clearly, he is reverting back to his cleaner ways. And what does that really mean, right? Some people maybe don't even know about Kenny Omega in New Japan. They're like, well, the cleaner, what the fuck is that? Was he a janitor? Forget the name. It's the point of all this, which is that we're finally getting a different side of the Kenny Omega character on TV. I was kind of bored and sick to death, frankly, of the Kenny Omega that we've been seeing now for months on TV. All the hoopla around Kenny Omega when he signed with AEW, when he joined his buddies and they were launching the promotion. Remember all the hoopla around them? People thought Kenny Omega is going to be in the Royal Rumble. People were fantasy booking Kenny Omega going to WrestleMania, wrestling AJ Styles, wrestling Seth Rollins. He was going to be the biggest free agent in wrestling at one time. There was a lot of buzz around Kenny Omega, and he chose to go to AEW. And there are a lot of people who probably tuned into AEW saying, I got to see what all the buzz and all the fuss is about with Kenny Omega, who probably watch him and go, all right, well, he's a good wrestler, but I don't really see what the big deal is. And the big deal about all this is we might soon find out. People might soon find out just how good he really is. And frankly, I just think he lends himself better to being a heel. There's just something hateable. I think even Jim Cornette would agree, right? When you watch the Kenny Omega, when he's acting all arrogant and cocky on TV, he just seems very punchable. So I think this is exactly the direction he needs to go in. And I got to give AEW props for what they did here. They were put in a situation where they had to come up with a replacement for Joey Janela. Whoever it was going to be, they were going to lose. So you could take somebody else. I mean, I know a lot of people probably said, oh, Sonny Kiss, what did he ever do to deserve a title shot? Why is he in this match? This sucks. They needed somebody to put in there to lose quickly to Kenny Omega. Would you rather they take somebody, Sammy Guevara and put him in there and lose in 10 seconds? They needed a body to put in there, and Sonny Kiss was that person. And what they did here was exactly what they should have done. Kenny Omega, as soon as the bell rings, V-trigger right to the face. He gets Sonny Kiss up on his shoulders. One winged angel. 1, 2, 3. Match over. I don't know what the exact time was, but if this went 30 seconds, I would be shocked. This was exactly what this needed to be. Nothing more, nothing less. Because if you think about it, Kenny Omega should not be having a whole lot of difficulty with Sonny Kiss. He shouldn't be having a lot of difficulty with Joey Janela either. So I think this was exactly what this needed to be. And again, you're going to go down this road with Kenny Omega. You want people to really start to see this guy for the main eventer that he claims to be, and everybody says that he is. He can't be going more than 20 seconds with Sonny Kiss. I'm sorry. What was the last big thing Sonny Kiss did on this show? What was the last big thing Joey Janela did on this show? If Joey Janela were in the ring tonight, I would have wanted the match to go the exact same way. So this was perfect. Then we had the big eliminator match that I was looking forward to. This is the match that I was looking forward to all week, which was Pentagon They call him Penta El Cerro. I call him Pentagon. Pentagon Jr. That's what he is. Pentagon against Rey Fénix. Brother against brother. With the winner facing Kenny Omega next week in the semifinals of the Eliminator Tournament. The first time I saw these two wrestle in the ring together, because they haven't always been tag team partners. First time I saw these two wrestle in the ring together was the very first season of Lucha Underground. And I know they had more matches after that, at least one. Forgot what the stipulation was, but that was my first time seeing the two of them in the ring together. And of late, they've been tag team partners, and they are, I mean, to me, they're one of the best tag teams in the world. Maybe the best tag team in the world at this moment are the Lucha Bros. So when I saw that they were being matched up in the opening round, I said, inject that shit right into my veins. I'm ready. Bring it on. And it did not disappoint. Scary thing about it, though, scary thing is, this wasn't even the best match these two have had together. This wasn't even the best match these two can have together. They actually were kind of holding back a little bit. It could have been even crazier. But even still, I thought what we got here was excellent. Now, there was a scary moment. You know, everybody's been talking about Alex Reynolds. There was a scary moment here in this match. And I'm kind of hoping that it was just good selling on the part of Fénix. But Fénix gave Penta, and they had this great camera view. They have the camera that's mounted on one of the corner ring posts. And they happened to climb up in that corner. So we were getting a bird's eye view. And they're both on the top rope, or Penta was. And I think Fénix jumped up from the middle rope, and he was basically giving him like a twisting Rana off the top rope down to the mat. Well, I didn't see it at first, but when they showed the replay, when Fénix came down, he was the one giving the move. When Fénix came down from that twisting Rana off the top rope, he landed right on his head. He came down right on top of his own head. And it looked like he got his bell rung. And again, I hope he was only selling, but it looked like he was out of it. For a couple of minutes at least, he was out of it. And they didn't stop the match. The doctor didn't come in. I mean, the referee was right there. Aubrey Edwards was right there trying to communicate with him. But he did not look right at all. And I would have at least had somebody else kind of get in there and check on the guy. How many fingers am I holding up? Because he came down right on top of his head. And they didn't stop it. They just... He probably was like, I'm all right. And clearly he wasn't. And they just kept going. But Fénix was well enough to bust out a top rope Spanish fly. Pentagon had the highlight of the match. I don't think I've ever seen this before. So Fénix comes off the ropes. Or he whips Fénix into the ropes. And as Fénix is coming off, Pentagon propels him up into the air. So picture like a Kevin Owens pop-up powerbomb. But when he propels Fénix up into the air, Fénix does a flip. Or he flips Fénix in midair and then brings him down for a powerbomb. That was creative. I like that. And I thought that might be the finish. That would have been a good finish, but near fall only. So Pentagon gives his brother the arm breaker. Man, what a mean bastard here, right? You would think family members. He's trying to break this guy's arm. Gives him the arm breaker. Actually, you know what? I do miss the days of Lucha Underground where when we would see Pentagon do the arm breaker, it would break the arm. And the person would sell like they had a broken arm. And not always, but more often than not, they treated it like a broken arm. And that person disappeared for a while from TV. And now it's another spot in the match. But Fénix was selling the arm. He was on his knees looking up at his brother. He's selling the arm. And For a moment, it looked like Pentagon hesitated in a moment of weakness for his brother, and that proved to be his downfall. And so Penta hit the ropes. Fénix countered with whatever Penta was going for. Fénix countered it into a destroyer for the win. And I thought to myself, hey, look, someone won with a destroyer. Perfect. When was the last time somebody actually won a match with a destroyer? We see Dustin Rhodes doing it every match he's in. I mean, everybody does one now. It's not just Dustin, but everybody does one. We don't see them used for the finish anymore. I like that. I like that they actually used it as a finish. Progress. We're making small progress here. So by the end, Fénix looked okay. Thankfully, he looked okay. But I guarantee you, the moment he got to the back, they grabbed him and they gave him a concussion test. And if they didn't, then they should have. Because he definitely looked like he got his bell rung on that spot. So we had the final eliminator match of the night. This was not a match I really cared about. I really didn't think I was going to care about this match coming in. It was Hangman Page against Colt Cabana. At one point, Hangman was up to the top rope. We're climbing up top. Cabana shoved him off the rope, and Hangman took a back bump on the ring apron. So he fell all the way down, hit the ring apron, and then went splat on the floor. So that didn't look like it felt very good. Cabana rolled him back into the ring, went for a top rope splash. Page rolled out of the way. He powerbombed Cabana for a near fall. Cabana had Page up for the Chicago Skyline. Page slipped out, went for the buckshot lariat. And Cabana managed to avoid it. Couldn't avoid it the second time, though. And he turned him inside out, and Hangman Page gets the win. Not a surprise that he would get the win. Better match than I expected. I just wasn't really excited about this match. I can't bring myself to get excited about the Dark Order or Colt Cabana. I don't care. Nothing intrigues me about this. There's nothing exciting about any of it. But Colt Cabana can be easy to forget. He's a very good pro wrestler. So this was a good match. I thought Hangman and Colt had a good match. And unlike Kenny Omega earlier in the show, Hangman had to work for this win. This did not come easy for him. He had to work for this win. Unlike Kenny. Remember, there's a story going on right now. Still with Hangman and Omega. And maybe that was part of the story they were telling tonight. Kenny, cocky, he's got this in the bag, wins his match in 20 seconds. Hangman, he's got to work. He's going to have to work next week against Wardlow. That ain't going to come easy for him either. We had a Team Taz promo. They came out on stage for a hot minute. Taz was not happy. Talked about Will Hobbs briefly, who still owes them an answer about whether or not Will Hobbs is going to join them. And then he pivoted to Darby Allin, who's getting a TNT title match at Full Gear. Says, you know, the fact that he's getting a championship match, that really burns my ass. You know, they have over-the-counter products that can help with that. I'm just saying, I've used it, not often, but, you know, find a good Walgreens. They have stuff that can help you with that. But it really burns his ass. He says that he was minding his own business earlier today. Tony Khan saw him and said, hey, Taz, come on in. I want to talk to you about something. And he says, Tony Khan mentioned to him, he goes, you know, if Ricky Starks would have been victorious in his match over Darby Allin, it would be him going to Full Gear and getting a championship match. And Taz thought he was being a smartass, you know, no kidding. Ricky Starks has won, I think, 9 out of his last 10 matches. He goes, this is BS. Ricky Starks takes the mic and he says he's going to, now he's got to watch Darby get a title shot, how much it bothers him. And he says, you know, he doesn't know when, he doesn't know where, but at some point, Darby Allin is going to pay. So this issue with Darby Allin and Ricky Starks is not over. And that's fine with me, because I'm a big fan of both guys. Big fan of Ricky Starks. I mean, you talk about having a huge upside. I mentioned Wardlow. That's the thing about AEW. You know, I think even for the people who aren't into some of the characters or the smaller guy, whatever issue they may have with the roster or the product, when you really look at the younger talent that they have, a guy like a Wardlow, a guy like a Jungle Boy, MJF, Hangman Page, Darby Allin, Ricky Starks, Will Hobbs, I'm sure there's a bunch of people I'm not even thinking of right now. They have a lot of young talent that within the next 2 to 3 years can really bust out as guys who can help carry this company. So it's not just the ex-WWE guys. It's not Jericho. It's not my Jericho. You know, Jericho might still be under contract to AEW in 3 years or 5 years. I think Jericho signed a 4-year contract, so he's not going anywhere. But the purpose that Jericho served was he was the biggest WWE name that they could have gotten. And he's willing to work with the younger guys and the guys that don't have a name, right? So that's the purpose that Jericho serves. 5 years from now, Chris Jericho has no business being the AEW champion. He was the right person to be the champion on day one. But the whole point is to get these guys ready, to get them a name, to get them on TV, to work with them, to put them over, like he did with Orange Cassidy. Now, maybe Orange Cassidy is not the guy. Maybe it's going to be a Darby. Maybe it's going to be an MJF. But these are the names that are going to have to carry this company in the next few years. There's a lot of guys like that up and down this roster. And that's one of the positives that AEW has when it comes to its roster. If anything, the roster might be a little too big, where not everybody can really get the attention that they deserve. Whenever they get that second TV show, that might help alleviate things a little bit. Because they have a second TV show that they're contracted for. I think COVID kind of put everything on hold. But I don't know that they really get enough credit for having all of these young names that I think are just ready to bust out. And you could really build the upper part of your card around a lot of these guys. So, anyway, that's my take on it. But Ricky Starks is definitely one of those people. And then it was time. It was time for the dinner debonair. This was the big date, right? They were basically like they were going on a date. Big steak dinner between Chris Jericho and MJF. This was one of the most unique segments that you will ever see on a wrestling show. And we've seen some pretty ridiculous stuff over the years on wrestling shows. This is going to make some people angry. This is also going to be a segment I think that people probably were very entertained by. And they laughed at. And maybe they want to see more of it. They're sitting at a table. And MJF orders himself a 20-ounce porterhouse with baked potato on the side. Well done. He wants his steak well done. Chris Jericho says, I'll have the same thing. I'll have the 20-ounce porterhouse with a baked potato, but I'll have my steak medium well. And MJF says, well, you know what? Strike that. I'm going to change my order to medium. I want my steak medium. And Chris Jericho says, I'll have mine medium rare. MJF changes his to rare. I mean, this is back and forth, back and forth. Jericho now wants his extra bloody rare. You know what? Don't even cook the fucking thing. Just take the fucking raw meat and put it on a plate and bring it out to me. That's basically what he was asking for. So then they stop the whole charade. And by the way, let me interject here. Everybody knows that the correct way, the correct temperature, the correct way to eat your steak is only one way. Medium well. And I say that as somebody who once went to a restaurant, had a burger that tasted great and looked fine. I mean, it was a burger. It wasn't steak. But I ended up in the emergency room, okay? Because it probably was not as cooked as it should have been. So I ended up in the emergency room. I was hooked up to two different, little bags, the antibiotics or whatever they were giving me. So I'm a little, having gone through that experience, I can tell you that medium well. That's the way that you eat your steak. Same thing with the burger. You don't have to have it well done. Medium well. That's the way to go. And if you want to have ketchup with your steak, there's nothing wrong with that either. A nice medium well steak with some ketchup. There you go. Perfect. So, after all of this is done, we get into the real meat of the segment, no pun intended, the real meat of the segment, the meat and potatoes of this segment, the two of them broke into a dance number. We had a duet with Chris Jericho. Now, Chris Jericho has a band, right? So we know Chris Jericho sings. He sings his own song. But they broke into a duet, a musical, like something out of off Broadway that you would see. They were dressed like something out of a Broadway production. There's no Broadway. This is the closest thing you're going to get to Broadway right now. Broadway is shut down straight through 2021, or at least I think May. They said Broadway is going to stay shut down until May, at least May of 2021. This is the closest thing to a Broadway production or a Broadway musical that you people are going to get. These guys were out there like Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. They have the tap shoes on. They probably worked all week on this. I thought this was going to turn in. At first, I thought this was stupid. And I thought this was going to turn into like a dream sequence, which would have been dumb enough. But it wasn't. This was real. This actually happened here. They had female backup dancers. This was a whole like theater production here. And all I could think of, I kept thinking of Michigan J. Frog. I kept thinking of Michigan J. Frog from the cartoon. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. That's all I kept thinking of. I just need the little frog with the top hat and the cane and to come dancing across the screen. So they sing this song, and I didn't get all the lyrics. It was basically changed the lyrics to insult and call out a lot of the baby faces on the roster. Finally, the singing is over. The dancing is over. They sit back down very calmly. They sit back down at their table, and the waitress brings out their steaks, and it's basically raw meat. Basically raw meat. And they agree that they can't eat these steaks. They call for the waitress, and that's when the whole bit comes to an end. Chris Jericho is clearly a fan of Family Guy. I think that much is obvious watching that, or whoever put the segment together is clearly a fan of Family Guy. Here's what I thought. When this started with the back and forth, I thought it was just going to be a steak dinner with some jokes. When they got into the dance and the singing and everything, I was not a fan. I was not digging this at all. But by the end, I have to give credit where credit is due. MJF has some pipes. He has got some pipes on him. I must give him credit. The man can sing. I don't know if he was lip-syncing to something that he sang pre-recorded, because Jericho looked like he was lip-syncing. It looked like he was definitely lip-syncing or out of sync with the sounds that we were hearing. But MJF, it sounded like he was doing it live. Like fucking Bill O'Reilly out here. He's going to do it live. So I give him a lot, I give him a lot of credit. I give them points for creativity. This was definitely a creative segment. This was definitely unique. I will give them points for that. To me, it is the kind of segment that should not be done for a very long time. And it's the kind of segment that only works with the right people. This segment would not have worked with probably anybody in this company other than Chris Jericho and MJF. MJF is great at what he does. Jericho is more hit than miss generally with the comedy stuff, and he's done a lot of comedy stuff, the stuff with Orange Cassidy. So Jericho's done a lot of comedy stuff, right? Even in WWE, he also did a lot of comedy stuff. I don't think this would have worked with any other two people. I don't think they could have pulled it off in that company. So if you have the right people for a segment like this, then you can strike gold. I don't know that I like this as much as other people may have liked it, but they won me over by the end just because I thought they did a really good job with it. So I will give them props, and I will give them points for that. But like I said, it's very important that you have the right people. And just to bring it to WWE, because there's going to be a lot of people who probably say, oh, if WWE did something like this, all these fans, they'd be crapping on it. And you know what? Maybe that's true in some cases, but yeah, WWE is the same thing. Comedy is it's a weird thing. I don't have any problem with comedy if it's done right and if it's not overdone. When I think back to some of my favorite comedy segments in WWE, I mean, I probably have a whole bunch of them, but I think of Tea Time with Santino. Santino was a comedy character. I did not like all the stuff they did with him. I thought the Cobra and all that, the whole Cobra thing, I thought that was fucking stupid. But you never know when you might strike gold. And they did that one segment in the UK, Tea Time with Santino and Sheamus. Even Sheamus couldn't keep it together. It took everything, every fiber of his being, not to break character live on television. Maybe it wasn't live, but during that segment. I love that segment. That's one of the all-time great Santino comedy segments, right? This is Your Life with Rock and Mankind, the chemistry they had. Nobody else could have pulled that off but them, the way that they pulled it off. And I think now, over on the other channel, over on NXT, Drake Maverick and Killian Dane. If you listen to my NXT reviews on the Sunday podcast, when I talk about the NXT shows, they have become a guilty pleasure of mine on NXT. I love the banter between them, that cheesy like theme song or like sitcom music they come out to. I'm sure some people hate it, but like I it puts a smile on my face, and it just works, right? Because Dane has this look of just incredulity on his face, like I can't believe what is this horrible noise I hear? It's music, but like if you were going to do a segment like this in WWE right now, those would be the two guys that you would have to do it with. I don't know if they could pull it off. But I don't know that this segment would work with almost anybody else right now on that roster, except maybe two guys like that. You've got to have the right people for it. But when Jericho talks about this, which I'm sure he will on his podcast or on his YouTube show, I would be very surprised if there is no mention of Family Guy being an inspiration for what we saw in this segment. So I guess to sum it all up, not a fan at first, kind of won me over by the end, but not the kind of segment I really want to see again. It worked, and just move on. I don't want to start seeing musical, interludes and duets and all this kind of stuff on the show every week, but it was unique enough to stand on its own. Britt Baker defeated Killian King, pretty much a squash. Yeah, just a way, it's an exhibition for Britt Baker. Britt Baker needs to rack up some wins. So, you know, she got a win here, hit a curb stomp, lockjaw for the submission, and it served its purpose. It gave her a win on TV. They had a very quick segment. All these Darby segments, this guy's out of his fucking mind. So they brought Steve-O in. Last time we saw Steve-O was on Raw, many, many years ago, getting his ass kicked by Umaga. Or at least that's the last time I remember Steve-O doing anything of note on a wrestling show. So Steve-O is with Darby, and they basically did a takeoff of the old Jackass show. We see Darby Allin. He takes a body bag. He climbs into a body bag at the top of, I guess, a half pipe that you would see a skateboarder use. And he gets into the body bag and he says, "I'm Darby Allin, and this is whatever." What do you call it? The body bag roll-in is what they called it, which is basically he's rolling down a half pipe in a body bag. So he does that, and then he unzips the bag and he's like, "I'm ready. I'm ready for Cody, or I'm ready for full gear." I thought this was fucking dumb. And every time this guy does something like this, I get that's his gimmick, right? Mick Foley, right? It's like the Mick Foley thing in WWE. He loves pain. He's always doing crazy stuff to entertain the fans. He loves pain. All this, just asking for trouble, though, right? How does this get you prepped for full gear? If it's a body bag match, then maybe, okay, I can see that, but I just think this stuff is dumb. Dumb. Telling you, nothing good's going to come out of that. The bunny is back with the Butcher and the Blade. Poor QT Marshall. QT Marshall turned on by, well, I'm sure he was turned on by the bunny, but the bunny turned on QT Marshall. So I don't know why she was with him to begin with, but now it's over. And we had Butcher and Blade, John Silver and Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order, Private Party, and the Young Bucks. Fatal 4-Way with the winners going on to full gear to challenge for the AEW Tag Team titles. FTR was on commentary for this match. This was the second mention on this show. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Third mention. If you count both mentions in Kenny Omega's intro, this was the third mention on this show of Dave Meltzer in The Observer. Now, I understand that the Young Bucks have a move named after Dave Meltzer, so if they're going to hit, if they're going to hit the Meltzer driver in their match, well, that's the name of the move. So you call it the Meltzer driver. There should not be multiple mentions of Dave Meltzer on this show. I feel like when you have multiple mentions of, it's not BTE, okay, I'm talking Dynamite, on TNT. Dave Meltzer should not be mentioned on this show. If you do, you forfeit the right to complain when people call you all kinds of names and this is just a whole show full of marks and all this other stuff. It just feeds into that. Do we really need FTR on commentary talking about Dave Meltzer? Unless Dave Meltzer is coming in as a manager. I mean, Dave Meltzer, he keeps himself in good shape from all the pictures that I've seen. He could probably come in and hold his own against some of these smaller guys on the roster, but do we really need the constant mentions of Dave Meltzer? Poor Jim Cornette, his head's going to explode. Oh, I can only imagine his reaction, by the way. Somebody mentioned Cornette a little while ago. I can only imagine what his reaction, because isn't he a fan of MJF? I don't follow all of Cornette's stuff, but I thought he actually liked MJF. I could only imagine his thoughts about that segment with Chris Jericho. But let's keep the Meltzer mentions to a minimum, please. I don't have an issue with Meltzer either. There's no need for him to constantly be mentioned on this show. It's not needed. John Silver at one point during this match started running wild. He was going nuts. And for a moment there, you saw how John Silver, I think, could one day be like a breakout star. Like when they get crowds back in the buildings, he's the kind of guy you need crowds back in the buildings. I think he's a guy. And I know he's all over BTE and he's very entertaining and he's very energetic and he's full of energy. I feel like he's the kind of guy who could end up getting over, unexpectedly getting over with the live audience. But without the live audience, and I know they have like 500 people in the building or 1,000 people. I'm talking about getting like 5,000 people back into the building. He could be somebody who gets over in a way that he becomes like a big baby face. He's like that little pit bull who just goes wild in the middle of the match, makes the hot tag and the big comeback and all that. John Silver is a guy to keep an eye on. John Silver's another one of those guys. I was just talking about this a little while ago, right? I don't know how old he is. I don't think he's that old. One of these younger guys did not come from WWE or some other big promotion with a big name, who I think could end up getting over as, you know, a very entertaining, successful player, probably somewhere in the mid-card. And not just in a tag team. John Silver is very, very good. So he had a big comeback, I guess you would call it, at one point here in the middle of the match. The finish came. I was a little distracted towards the end by some stuff. So I there were some high spots here I missed out on. But Matt Jackson reversed a roll-up attempt by Isaiah Cassidy of Private Party, who went for a roll-up. And Matt Jackson rolled through and he got the win. The outcome here was never in doubt. We knew what the match at Full Gear was going to be. This is the match they've been building up for years. Bucks, FTR. I knew FTR was good. They had to win the belts first. I said this months ago. Have them win the belts first. Then they can throw it in the Bucks' faces that they won the belts before they did. You want to be the champions, you got to beat us for the belts. Everything has, all roads have led here to where we are now at Full Gear. And it will be the Young Bucks taking on FTR. FTR got in the ring. They were offering beers to the Bucks. Beers to the Bucks, which were rejected. Because we all know the emo Bucks, not old enough to drink. So they smack the drinks out of their hand. And all of a sudden, a masked man appears with a chair. And he hits the Bucks from behind. At first, I didn't know who it was. Once he climbed up to the middle rope, I think it was, to assist with the spike pile driver, it was pretty obvious who it was. But the announcers had to play dumb. Because at that point, I'm like, wait, where's Tully? So I knew it was Tully Blanchard. I will say, you know, Tully Blanchard, for a guy who's probably in his 60s, right? He's one of these, part of the old guard. There are a lot of guys from that era and that generation who, well, I mean, there are guys who aren't even around anymore. But they're not moving around too well. Every time I see Tully, when he's active and taking bumps or he's running away or whatever, he moves around pretty good, I have to say. For a guy who's been doing this as long as he has been, as old as he is, physically, he's doing a lot better than other guys from his era are doing. So he was moving around in there and coming off the ropes with the assisted pile driver, and they got a chair. They wrapped it around Matt Jackson's leg. Tully, I think it was Tully, came off the rope. Maybe it wasn't Tully. Maybe it was Wheeler. Came off the ropes, came right down on the chair on Matt's leg. They're trying to break Matt Jackson's leg. So they're going to give the Bucks, one of them anyway, an injury going into the match at the pay-per-view. Tully pulls the mask off, or it was like a bandana wrapped around his face, revealed his identity, and that's how they went off the air. This is why I was saying before, I'm not 100% convinced that it's going to be Moxley and Eddie Kingston. It probably will be that match because it's for the world title, headlining Full Gear. But I also could envision the tag team title match going on last, like it did tonight. Just as long as they have built this up for, even pre-AEW, I could see them thinking this match is the biggest thing on the show and maybe headlining with it. But that's how they went off the air. I thought it was a very good show. Very good show with one very, very polarizing segment in the middle of it. It didn't piss me off. It didn't offend me or anything. But like I said, I really wasn't a fan of the whole musical song and dance shit. By the end of it, though, I appreciated the effort, especially MJF. I appreciated the effort. I actually felt like he was leading the whole thing. Jericho was just kind of going along with it. I thought MJF knocked it out of the park. You know, whatever they give him to do, generally, he knocks it out of the park. Now, next Wednesday night, AEW is going to be opposite NXT Halloween Havoc. I am planning on covering AEW live, so I'm not going to... I could change my mind, I guess, depending on what the card looks like. I've been waiting years to get Halloween Havoc back. But I will likely be here covering AEW live like I always do. But here's how the card looks like for next week. We have the two final, or the two only semifinal matches in the Eliminator. Wardlow takes on Hangman Page. Kenny Omega against Rey Fénix. That match, if hopefully Fénix is okay and he's not concussed and they have to pull him. Omega and Fénix, that's going to be potentially a crazy match. It could even be a better match than we got tonight with Penta. I think it's going to be a great match. I'm looking forward to that one. Cody and Orange Cassidy, lumberjack match for the TNT title. Abaddon. I don't know where this woman has been. Was I not on this stream last week, 1 week ago, pointing out the fact that Halloween is right around the corner? How do you not have Abaddon on Dynamite? A woman with all the makeup and shit that she's got on her face, looking like something out of The Walking Dead. How do you not have her on Dynamite? And lo and behold, we have Abaddon next week, who they pointed out, I think, is like number 3 in the rankings. Because she's been wrestling pretty much probably everywhere but Dynamite, I assume. I thought somebody said she hasn't even been on Dark recently, but she's number 3. But yes, finally, we're getting Abaddon on Dynamite. We get an Abaddon entrance next week on, I guess, what is going to be the Halloween edition of Dynamite. She's taking on Tay Conti. There's going to be a town hall meeting with the Inner Circle to decide if MJF should become a member of the group. They're running out of time to put the match together with Jericho and MJF. I don't see how that's not the match at the pay-per-view, because these guys have no match otherwise. So it should, whatever they're going to do, it's got to happen next week. And then they have 1 week left to build to the singles match at the pay-per-view. Right? Because it's next week is basically Halloween week. And then the election is the week after, and that Saturday is the pay-per-view. So they're going to have to pull the trigger next week. MJF is not joining the Inner Circle. Whatever they're going to do, it's going to be done there. And that's got to be the match at Full Gear. Speaking of Full Gear, they made the announcement tonight that there will be an Elite Deletion match. They did not really explain the rules, unless I missed it, but it's going to be Matt Hardy against Sammy Guevara. Pray for Matt. Things usually don't work out too well when he and Sammy get together. It doesn't end well for Matt. But I think this whole Elite Deletion, what I'm hoping is it is a cinematic type match from the Hardy compound. That way it can be taped, it can be edited, nobody gets killed. It's done safely. But I've been waiting for them to get to the Hardy compound. I thought they would do it back in May. We got the Stadium Stampede instead, which was fun. But not knowing the rules, I don't know if this is going to be cinematic from the compound or if it's just going to be some kind of special stipulation from Daly's Place. I don't want to see this match at Daly's Place. Do it from the compound. That's where this needs to be. And you already know the other matches for the pay-per-view because we already talked about it, so... AEW poll is up right now on Twitter at Salamonster. You can vote thumbs up or thumbs down. A very positive response to AEW and I guess the Chris Jericho MJF. See, I actually thought that would get more hate But I guess most people seem to love it. This goes to show you, you never really know what people are going to go for. NXT, 65% thumbs up, 34% thumbs down. So again, get on Twitter and you can vote thumbs up or thumbs down on what you thought of the shows tonight. Let's take a look at your super chats and see what you guys thought of the show tonight. What questions you may have. You can still get those super chats in if you wish to support the channel. Jacob Donnelly, I just watched a 6-minute musical that was more entertaining than 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. Patrice, thank you for the $2. Food Hive, gotta miss the stream tonight. So he just wanted to chime in. See, Food Hive's a good dude. Ryan Spies, MJF and Jericho's song was better than Raw. Are we going to get a lot of these Raw comments? Mass Critic says, sports-based entertainment. Cornette's head just exploded. Brian Mahoney. The musical segment would have sucked if you put anyone else besides MJF and Jericho in it. It was great because of who was in it, which is exactly the point that I made a little while ago. Prince Walker, I have not watched the full show yet, but from what I saw, it was a good show. But that Lucha Bros match was wow. Well, I mean, given who was involved, can you really be surprised? I mean, nobody knows Pentagon better than Phoenix, and nobody knows Phoenix better than Pentagon. These two guys can probably have a good match in their sleep because they know exactly what the other one is going to do. And on top of that, they work as a tag team. So they kind of have to know each other's shit, right? So it's not really all that surprising that they would go out there and have the best match of the night. Dry chicken without flavor. I'm here tonight. Sala Monster. AEW New Japan Super Chats are coming. I hope so. I'm waiting. Level 20, Factotum. I feel like I watched the series finale of Pro Wrestling with that Jericho MJF segment. Great show. Chase Wood, what a fantastic show. Really enjoyed it from top to bottom. Happy Wednesday, Sala Monster. Hope you are doing well. Jared M with the $25. He loved the steak dinner. So there's another fan of the segment. Lord Frieza. That Jericho MJF segment was weird, but I think I liked it. Not sure yet. Lord Frieza is confused. He's not sure how he feels. Sounds like me the first time I... Anyway. Dried chicken without flavor. The Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny are back, reunited. Look, even Randy Orton. Look at Randy Orton. Even he's excited. Look at Randy Orton. He's been standing in that position all week, by the way. Ever since last week, he's been standing. He's been frozen, fixed in that position. He may not make it to Hell in a Cell this weekend. He's too busy looking at me. By the way, I did, just as a little side note here, I had mentioned that I would probably go live on YouTube on Thursday, tomorrow, for my Hell in a Cell predictions. That is not going to happen because there's 4 matches on the show. I'm not going to go live for a YouTube stream to give predictions for 4 fucking matches. So I'm not planning on doing a prediction stream. They'll add more matches, I'm sure, on SmackDown Friday night. I'll make a decision at that point if I want to do some kind of prediction thing this weekend. Otherwise, I'll just wait until the show on Sunday, episode 675. How do you have a pay-per-view and you only have 4? Whatever. Why even ask? We already know there's no real logical answer to the question, right? Joe Biskner, I've been listening for at least 4 years. Thank you for making Mondays at work easier. Well, thank you. Thank you for sticking with me. I appreciate that. Let's see, ZBird85. I'm surprised Omaha Steaks was not a sponsor tonight. Well, weren't they a sponsor for Jericho's podcast? Yeah, I would imagine that they could have worked something out. They would have worked something out for this show. Dry chicken, Eddie Kingston against Jon Moxley equals bloody brutality. Yes, I suspect we're going to get some color in that match at Full Gear. Pedro, in your opinion, which of the Lucha Bros will be the bigger singles star?
Pentagon.
Phoenix is probably the most dynamic performer, maybe in all of wrestling. I used to say Ricochet. Poor Ricochet now. I mean, Ricochet is a different, he's still very good, don't get me wrong. I mean, Ricochet is very athletic and he can do things that a lot of people can't do, but he's lost a lot of that luster, right? So Phoenix is able to go out there and he's not under any restrictions. And that might be to his detriment because he's rung his bell a few times. But Phoenix is just, he's incredible. He really is. He's incredible. But I like just Pentagon, the work, but also just the way he carries himself, the look, the mask. And I just think back to the Lucha Underground days, and Pentagon was one of the biggest stars in that whole show. I would still like to see Pentagon break out as a single, the way that I remember him. Oz and Gloria, shout out to Dry Chicken and Spanish Goddess, who I see super chatting to Tony Schiavone on the AEW after show replay stream. What are they doing over there? They should be over here. Why are they super chatting Tony Schiavone? Tony Schiavone doesn't need super chats. Tony Schiavone gets paid by a billionaire. What the hell are you super chatting Tony Schiavone for? Yeah, show some love for the little guy. Crash. Speaking of blonde hair, I didn't know Mr. Anderson's hair was not naturally blonde. All right. Was it brown? I don't know that I knew that either. Mr. Burgos with the $5. Screw AEW. He said they did irreparable damage to Sunny's career, buried her 6 feet under, and showed they only signed her for good PR and the illusion of diversity. So Ojale is very upset at the way that Sunny Kiss was booked tonight. And here's what I would say to that. Sunny Kiss was not even supposed to be on this show. Sunny Kiss had no match on this show. And my guess is that what happened to Sunny Kiss is exactly what would have happened to Joey Janela. Because I think the story is we have a new Kenny Omega, and they wanted to shock people, and he would just go in there, and he would win his match really quickly. So, if it wasn't Sunny Kiss, it would have been Joey Janela. Sunny Kiss just happened to be the person who was available on short notice, and is Joey's partner, and so they went with Sunny instead. Sunny Kiss had no business being in the world title tournament. Neither did Joey Janela, frankly. They have not been on Dynamite enough, I think, to even warrant a spot in the tournament. I don't want to say that they don't deserve to even be associated with the world title tournament, because you had, like, Jungle Boy, and I like Jungle Boy, but also Jungle Boy hasn't really done much, right, to warrant competing for the world title. But at least he's been on Dynamite, and he's been a featured player on the show. Joey Janela and Sunny Kiss have barely been featured. This was not about Sunny Kiss. This was about Kenny Omega. Who else would you have put in there with Kenny Omega who you would have been okay doing the job like that in 20 seconds? You couldn't put a job guy in there because it's a world title tournament. It had to have somebody who is recognized a little bit that had a name. Sunny Kiss drew the short straw. I don't have a problem with it. See, I think people read too much into these things. That's what I think. And I can understand that Sonny has, you know, his fans and all that, and I think that's great. And so obviously they're going to be very upset that he lost, and that he lost so dominantly, didn't even get an offensive move in. I don't think he did anything. I think he got kneed in the face, and then he got one winged angel, and then the pin. But that's how it had to be. I mean, Sunny Kiss was not even originally supposed to be on the show. He played his role tonight that he had to play. People on the show have a role to play sometimes. And right now, Kenny's the one on the ascent. It's just the way it is. I don't think that's an affront to Sunny Kiss. It was the exact right outcome. I thought what they did was Perfect. Kenny needed a dominant quick win. Just so happened to be Sunny Kiss. It could have been any number of people. Tenorio. Are you a fan of Jason Goes to Hell? I feel like I live that every day sometimes. Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X. I saw both movies. I was not a fan of Jason Goes to Hell. I'm not a fan of any kind of... I wasn't a fan of Jason Friday the 13th Part 5 either, because it wasn't Jason. It was a Jason imposter. Part 9 is this little demon thing that crawls into people's bodies, and I don't like that. That's lame. Jason 10, I enjoyed it because the funny thing about that, it is the most ridiculous premise, right? Jason goes to space. And he doesn't look like Jason. It's a totally different mask. He's this hulking figure with this, like, silver mask now. But the thing about Jason X, as stupid a premise as it is, it has probably the greatest kill scene, or one of the top, like, three kill scenes in all of the Friday the 13th movies. Which was the liquid nitrogen. I won't spoil it, but it was the liquid nitrogen scene. So, as ridiculous as the movie may have been, it had one of the best kill scenes of all 10 of those first 10 movies. So, for that reason alone, it's worth it. It's worth it to watch at least once. Rodimus Prime. That's right, Uber Jason. Thank you, Domination Warrior. That's right. Uber Jason. That's me. Uber Jason. Rodimus Prime with the $20. Thank you for the 20 spot. Moxley versus Kingston at Full Gear will be awesome. Cannot wait. Garrus Vicarion. Paige should win the title at Double or Nothing. I don't even know if he wins it at Double or Nothing. I think Kenny gets the belt first, and you got to give Kenny some time with the belt. I think Double or Nothing is too soon. And you know, part of the reason I don't mind them if they want to kind of keep this going longer, the longer you wait, the better the chances are that you'll be able to get more people in the buildings. I think it's going to be a very long time before we have full capacity in these buildings again. I don't even know that it's going to happen next year. I think it's going to be a slow thing. People aren't going to want to be sued. And it's, believe me, we're not going to have packed buildings for a very long time. But 6 months from now, a year from now, there's going to be a lot more people in these buildings than we have now. Wait until you can get more people in the building before you give Hangman his big crowning moment. You don't have to rush into it. Kenny's going to get the belt first. And then he can have this lengthy run with the championship, and eventually Hangman will catch up to him and he'll win the belt. By the time that happens, you might have a whole crowd of people, and it's this great, wonderful moment, and pyro and everything. Double or Nothing actually feels too soon. I think May would even be too soon to put the belt on Hangman. It's got to go to Kenny first. Oz and Glorious. How this channel is not at a million subs when garbage... Oh, come on now. Come on, let's not hate on what culture. But I do appreciate the sentiment. I have people all the time about how does this channel not have 100,000 views? I blame myself for that because the channel was up for like years. And it was kind of dormant, and I just wasn't really taking advantage of it. I really didn't start to grow the channel until maybe like 3 years ago. So the fact that I'm at 60 even now is pretty incredible. And the main podcast, the audio podcast, will always be the heart and soul of the show. I mean, that is the Sound Off. But YouTube has just become this great outgrowth, and to have even 60,000 of you crazy people on here is tremendous. But yeah, spread the word and tell people to sub. That's how you grow the channel. Tell your friends. Maybe they'll like what they see. HBK C83. Celebrating my birthday today, 37 years young. And cannot think of a better way to end this day night then checking out your review. Continue to do your thing. Well, happy birthday, HBK. Happy birthday to HBK and his lazy eye. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the support. Crow Feather Media. The Dark Order and Colt Cabana are gold on BTE. It just does not translate well on TNT. Yeah, I mean, sometimes what works on YouTube doesn't translate well on TV. You gotta remember, on TV also, you got a certain amount of time, right? It's a live show. You gotta hit your time cues. On YouTube, you can do whatever you want, and it's not live, right? So they can edit it, and you have no restrictions. You have no language restrictions. Brody Lee is on BTE dropping F-bombs like the world is ending tomorrow. So it's just two totally different platforms. EJ with the $5. Would you ever try to interview Curtis Granderson in the future? He's a great guy, huge wrestling fan, and would be very entertaining. It is funny that you mentioned that. And I think I may have mentioned this on the show many years ago. I knew a girl, and I won't say how, but I knew a girl who was very friendly with Curtis Granderson. And she told me a lot of the same stuff. He's a great guy, very charitable, and I've never heard a negative story about him. I have no doubt in my mind. He seems like a really, really cool dude. And I knew that he was a wrestling fan. And I was kind of hoping that maybe through her, that could have been my in, and I could try to arrange something. And then I don't know, either he got traded to another team, or this is when he was on the Mets. Something happened and it just didn't work out. But yeah, I don't know how to go about doing that right now, but I think Curtis Granderson would be a fun conversation. Magician Sapphire with the $10. Well done is the best way. Oh, for steak. Well, yeah, I don't, burnt to a crisp. I don't know if that works. I don't know if burnt to a crisp is the way to go. But after my little scare that landed me in the hospital with that burger, I'm just very, like, make sure it's dead. No blood. I don't want it to pick up, like, get off the plate and walk away. It has to be dead. Cooked and dead. I'm not going through that again. I could describe to you what I went through, but I don't want to gross you out. Now imagine having to go through that and you're in the ER. And there's only one bathroom. It was not my best night. Jared Simpson. Genius segment. Number one, to not do something super serious, competing with the World Series. And number two, go look at all the women tweeting about Jericho MJF. And number three, they rejected the Raw stakes. I see. Okay. See, that went right over my head. So what he's saying is that Jericho, at the end of the segment, Jericho and MJF, they rejected the Raw stakes. I see. Very, very clever. See, I didn't pick up on that. I just took that to mean that they were trying to one-up each other so much that in the end, they ruined their dinner. I didn't think, well, here's yet another WWE dig on this show. They love their WWE digs. I think they love it a little too much. Not that it's not deserved. But yes, you're probably right. That's probably what that was. Jackalope Music. Every segment that I find myself smiling to me is a good segment. Happens a lot when I rewatch my favorite wrestling videos from my formative years. Speaking of which, they just dropped a whole new batch of WWF Superstar shows on the network from the summer of, like, spring, summer of 1993. If you're looking for a really good match, I think it was the June or July 17th, I think it might have been 1993. I think July 93 episode of Superstars. I was watching it last night. I was actually watching it during Monday night. I was watching it during Raw. Which tells you what I thought of Raw this week. I decided to pull up the network and watch a random episode of Superstars from, 27 years ago. But there's this great tag team title match between the Steiner Brothers and Money Incorporated. Maybe it was probably one of the better Superstars matches in the history of the show. So if you're looking for a good match from that time period, I think it was July of 93. You can go check that out. Domination Warrior. Hey, 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 ho, ho. I'm a medium rare guy. I know you dislike too many dives, but which is the better dive? The arrow from the depths of hell or the Fosbury flop? Probably the arrow. Santos Escobar, now when he was King Cuerno in Lucha Underground, had one of the coolest looking like missile dives, like the arrow like through the ropes that I've seen. He got some, the speed he would get on that. That's one of the cooler dives that I've seen people do. Dry chicken without flavor, my Jay White versus Sonata G1 Climax 30's final prediction almost came true. Well, almost doesn't count. So, sorry to say. You were close. But close don't cut it. Rican Sun. Show was meh. He was not impressed by Dynamite tonight. Well, why? Rican Sun, you got to tell me why. Mike Ameltoe. Love that name. $5. If you don't watch or give AEW a chance because of their fan base, then you are soft and should give up watching wrestling forever. Well, you would be surprised how many people out there are like that. They just really do not like AEW. And look, you know, hey, to each their own, I guess. Okay, with a $1.99 super chat. Dried chicken again. I am predicting a Tyson versus Jericho at Double or Nothing in Las Vegas with a 50% crowd attended. I feel like the whole Jericho-Tyson thing has just sailed away, man. I think it's pretty much old news at this point. And we'll see what happens with Mike. You know, Mike's got that fight with Roy Jones Jr. I think is coming up November 28th, unless they reschedule it again. We'll see how Tyson looks in that fight. And okay, with the one final super chat, buy or sell. AEW WWE will be touring in 2022. I'm going to buy on that. Look, WWE, if it's up to Vince McMahon, I think they'll be touring in 2021. Yeah, they may not be touring a lot. I don't think WWE is going to be touring a lot either way. I think the days of them with that schedule they had of all the house shows, I think those days are over. They were already scaling back on the number of house shows. I think this is just going to drive it back even more. Because what's happened now is they used to be in the live event business. That's how they made their money. They made their money on, you know, pay-per-view, but they made their money on ticket sales. It was about driving people to the buildings. WWE is no longer a live event business, right? As of March of 2020, WWE is not a live event business. They are a television business. And even when they're able to go back to the live events, I don't think it's going to be at the level that they were at before. But I think Vince McMahon is just itching to get out of Florida and get back on the road. So I don't think you're going to have to wait until 2022 for that. I think it's coming a lot sooner than that. So that's my thought on it. Want to make a bet? No, I don't bet. But anyway, that's my thought on that. I do want to bring this up because I know this is going to be something that some of you, at least, or all of you should be interested. What some of you, all of you should be interested in this. October is the WrestleRumble.com killer belt giveaway. We are picking 4 prize winners this month. You can take a stab at it right now. One entry is just $1. On WrestleRumble.com. 4th place is 2 mystery belts. You see Jason? Look at Jason. Look at Jason in the poster there. All those belts? Those are the belts that are being given away this weekend. We're only a few days away. 4th place, you get 2 mystery belts. 3rd place is the Jeff Hardy TNA Championship belt. 2nd place is the Fiend Championship. The one that used to cost $6,500 that we had a listener actually call into the stream. Remember, we had a listener call into the stream a few months ago about the plastic belt. He was talking about his belt collection. He paid the full $6,500 for that Fiend belt, and now you can get it for like $400. You can get it for free. if you come in second place in the contest, and you get a custom Jason Voorhees mask from Friday the 13th, Part 4. And the first place winner is the hardcore title and a custom Jason mask from Friday the 13th, Part 3. That was the movie where he first got the hockey mask. That's four killer prizes. Go to WrestleRumble.com and join me live. Join me live. I hope you will join me live on YouTube on Sunday night as soon as Hell in a Cell goes off the air. Not only am I going to be recapping the whole show, but we are going to be giving away prizes to all four people. I want one of you guys to be one of those four people. But it's totally random. So, only way to win is to enter, and if Lady Luck is on your side, then you may walk away with, you may get the Fiend belt. You may get the Fiend championship belt. So, anyway, enter that contest. It should be a good time. Now, one of the things that we do, Vibes by Luxury says, I would just want the Jeff belt. Yeah, the Jeff Hardy TNA belt. See, I'm not really a big fan of that belt, but I feel like there are a lot of people who are very passionate about that belt. They love that design. They love that belt. Well, look, enter the contest. You have as good of a shot as anybody. But I can't say the Jeff Hardy belt is my favorite. One of my all-time favorite belt is the one over my shoulder to the left. The Winged Eagle. The Big Eagle is awesome. Don't get me wrong. But the Winged Eagle is my favorite. And then the old Intercontinental. Big Gold, right? That's another great one. Wait until you hear about the contest for next month. This is great. Oh, I'm just like the messenger here. You know, I do the live drawing. This is all from Wrestle Rumble, man. And when you see what the contest is for next month, that's going to be great. I can't give it away. I'm going to reveal it on Sunday. I'm sworn to secrecy beyond that. I can't say anything more than that. Russo on a pole. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $10 drop. Drop a $9.99 on the Solomonster and not the WWE Network. I do appreciate that. Yeah, Tamara, the U.S. title that MVP had, I think that's the one they just got rid of. I was never really a fan of that belt. I was a fan of the old WCW U.S. title. I was never really a fan of the WWE one. Just looked cheap to me. I'm not even really that much of a fan of the new one either, although I think it is an improvement. Turtlehead says, Smoking Skull. Smoking Skull belt was cool. That was cool. They have a custom Undertaker belt on WWE Shop. It's like purple and silver. That looks pretty cool. Let me just see. There was a comment here from, was it okay? Yeah. What will come first, he says, an Undertaker Sting match or Solomonster's Q&A video? Q&A video is coming soon. It's not a video. We're going to go live. I'll be live on the channel. I'll be taking Super Chat questions as well. So we'll mix the Super Chats in with the questions that I've already pulled. And we'll have a grand old time. I will announce on the show, on Twitter and everything, when I'm going to do it. It probably would be a Thursday night. Obviously, it's not going to be this Thursday because I'm not going to do it on the night of a presidential debate because that's what everybody is going to be preoccupied with. But when the World Series is over and things calm down a little bit, probably a Tuesday night or a Thursday night, we'll go live and we'll do a whole sound off inbox on YouTube. Did three of them last year. People really liked them. And so we're going to bring that back very soon. And a dry chicken without flavor. Steak, mashed potatoes with gravy, fries, and broccoli is delicious. Well, I'm under a calorie limit, and I think you just blew past that, so I'm going to pass. I'll leave that to you. It's all yours. I've lost 22 pounds so far since the start of this friggin' pandemic. I want to lose five more. Figure I lose five more, and then I start to bulk up, and that's when you start to see, like, Swallow Monster here on the channel. I want to lose five more. I'm on a kick. I'm a little worried. I want to lose too much, but once you start, it's like you don't want to stop, you know? I'm going to look like a twig soon, but it's all good. It's all about feeling good and being healthy, right? And I hope all of you are feeling good and being healthy. I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. We are going to get on out of here. And I will be with you on Sunday. It's going to be a busy day. I'm doing two podcasts in one day. Episode 675. And then Sunday night, live on YouTube for the Hell in a Cell stream. We'll be talking about the pay-per-view. We'll do the giveaway for Wrestle Rumble. Muscle Monster, says Tamara Davis. Well, I'm trying. See, I think I need a personal trainer who could just like beat the shit out of me if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. Because yeah, you get lazy sometimes. I need discipline, is what I need. I'm doing a better job of it now. But yeah, there are times where it's like, oh man, you know, I'm just starving. I need a personal trainer who just comes out of nowhere and like smacks me upside the head and pre-cooks all my meals for me and just says, here, eat this. That's what I need. You find me that person, and you'll have Muscle Monster here on the stream. Only problem is Muscle Monster can't have any protein shakes, so shakes, milk, anything like that, that's just not going to end well for me. So it's got to be au naturel. It's got to be a totally natural bulking or whatever you would call it. I don't even know what you call it. I don't even know what... Hey, you know, okay, says go live with DDP. I've interviewed DDP twice on my show a few years ago. And part of the reason why I've, you know, been doing well with all the weight loss recently is DDP yoga. That's what got me going on this whole kick. I got back into it. 3 years later, I got back into it. So this shit works. There's my little infomercial for it. Definitely works if you commit yourself to it, no doubt about it. I'll see you guys on Sunday. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for all the super chats. You guys are awesome. Take care, brush your hair. I will see you for 675 on Sunday. And Sunday night right back here for Hell in a Cell. Take care, guys.